and the choir on Monday night when we practiced that song. That is the most scriptural song the choir's ever sang. Did you hear that? That is the most scriptural, solid song that you've ever heard in this church. Faith in God through prayer is the only way to see God move. It's the only hope that you have for your life, honestly. Faith in God through Christ, I should add, in prayer. Faith in God through Christ is powerful. And that's the power that we need. That's the power that you need to break the strongholds that you're fighting, to break the strongholds in the life of others that you love. What's your prayer of all prayers? If you could have any one prayer, what would that prayer be? Will you bring it to the throne in faith in God through Christ? If you would turn with me to Hebrews 6, we're going to try to finish up Hebrews 6, and I hate to break the momentum of the moment, but I received a thank you card that I forgot to read, and also I wanted to welcome Gene Folk with us this morning. Gene, so good to see you. Great saint here at our church. Unfortunately, had to move out of town, and we've missed her. And Denny and Linda, are you officially retired? Denny and Linda are retired. I've been here for 17 and a half years waiting for that. Waiting for that. For Denny and Linda to retire to Tyrone. All those years waiting, and they've finally taken a big step of faith. Pray for them. Oh, my. Thank you. Words cannot express how much our family appreciated the love you showed to us in the many ways during the recent loss of our beloved mother, Jeanette Varner. She loved worshiping here at Grace and felt that she was a part of our church family. However, I know with certainty she is with her Lord and the love of her life, her husband, and our Father. And we also know with certainty we will be united again. Praise be to God, her children from Terry, Tom, Jackie, and Loretta. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's a beautiful card. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 6. I want to forget Hebrews 6, the hard part of it, verse 6, 1 through 6, and I want to get to the positive part. The positive part is that the writer of Hebrews is convinced that the vast majority of the church at wherever this Hebrew church was, the vast majority of them were believers. And that they were believers in God's promise. Now, I cannot overstate what I just said. God's promise. And I want to ask you, can you tell me, besides the promise if you eat of the fruit of the tree, what was the first promise that God gave concerning salvation? All right, you Bible scholars out there. Dan Albright, what was the first promise? I'm sorry? That's exactly right. Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. Did you hear that? The seed of the woman. A woman doesn't have seed. Man has seed. But the seed of the woman would crush the head of Satan. You'll bruise his heel, but he'll crush your head. Now, the second mention of seed and salvation was the promise to Abraham. And that promise was, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now here it's Abraham's seed, right? Yes? Abraham's future seed, his lineage. And if I go according to that, I better stay with that. Let's read Hebrews chapter 6. I'm somewhat getting ahead of myself, but Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, and God made several times very similar and same promise, he made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by greater, and an oath for confirmation for them is the end of all disputes, an oath. Is the end of all disputes. Now, what he means by that is that you go into court and you swear to tell the truth. Now, what do you swear on? Something more reliable than you, God's word. You swear on something that is truthful, certain. And God promised by his word to Abraham a promise that I will bless you and I will multiply you. Okay, so verse 16, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them the end of all dispute. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, that's you and I, or the people he was writing to, he wanted to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong encouragement. That word consolation is encouragement. We who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil, that is in the Holy of Holies in heaven. We have an anchor for our soul in this hope that's behind the veil now, where the forerunner, that is Jesus, has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, the message today, I want you to understand, God and his promises are finished. And if you will put your faith in God's promise that he gave to Abraham, say, well, that's goofy. Well, we'll look at that today and see what that promise entails. You can know for certain that you're saved. You can know for certain that you will have an inheritance. Now let's look at this morning. God's promised Abraham to give him... Uh-oh, I got a problem here. descendants through Sarah was kept, although he had to persevere by faith for a long time. 25 years Abraham had to persevere to get the promise that Sarah would have a child. Now, I hope you know that. If you don't, you need to read the book of Genesis. God promised to Abraham, I will give you descendants. And Abraham had no children, so how was he going to have descendants? And so, you know and I know, God promised them that they would have descendants. So what did Abraham do? Sarah came up with an ingenious idea. Her faith struggled to believe that she would have a child, so she used her handmaid, and she had a child. But that wasn't what God's will was. God's will was to give her a child. 25 years later, I didn't mention that for a reason, but I waited 17 years for this couple to move to Tyrone. 17 years. Abraham waited 25 years to see God's promise to have a son. Now, but he patiently waited and he received the promise because he patiently waited. Now, this serves as an example to us to patiently wait by faith in God's promise. What are we waiting for? The return of Christ. We're waiting for the return of Christ. We're waiting for the eternal kingdom. And of course, you know, in the end time, it says mockers will come mocking, saying, where is his coming? And we have to persevere through all the mockings and through all the educational people in universities of the elite and all their calling us fools and saying, you believe in creation? That's insane. We have to persevere through all the elite educational people and all the voices that scream against our faith. And there's so many to believe that Christ is coming. And we're waiting for his kingdom. Now, God, because he didn't want Abraham or his descendants, that's us, by the way, the heirs of the promise, to doubt his original promise to Abraham, he swore an oath by the immutability of his own name that he would keep his promise to Abraham. Now, I want you to understand the specific promise he made to Abraham that pertains to you. In Genesis chapter, there's several there, but Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. In Genesis 17, 6, he says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in the generations, for an everlasting covenant to be your God after you. And I'll be their God. Now, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 4, the word of the Lord came to Abraham saying, this one, that is Eliezer of Damascus, shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven. Right now, look toward heaven and count the stars. Count them. He says, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. he didn't have one. he didn't have one descendant. And he says, count the stars. So shall your descendants be. I'm sure. The next verse says, but he believed God. He believed God's word, and it was counted to him for righteousness. The covenant of grace was there. And of course, you see the covenant of grace again in another setting where he makes a covenant with him. In Genesis chapter, there's so many places. Genesis chapter, it doesn't matter. It does matter. Here was a covenant. He says, how will I know that I'm going to receive this land? And he says, well, I want you to gather certain animals. And I want you to cut them in half. I want you to put half over here, half of the animal here, half of the animal here. And then he put, Abraham fell into a deep sleep. Remember that? Abraham fell asleep. And God walked through that aisle of animals, and that's what's called cutting a covenant. Cutting a covenant. Usually two people walked through and made an agreement. But God alone went by through himself and made an agreement that he would fulfill his promises to Abraham. So it wasn't of Abraham's works. Now, but I want you to see, they finally had a son, the son of promise. And then in Genesis chapter 22, Isaac's born in Genesis 21. Remember when Sarah laughed when God told her, you're going to have a child, and Sarah laughed, and she said, no, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. But in Genesis 22, the Lord comes to Abraham, and just for time's sake, he said, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and I want you to take him to a mountain that I'll show you and sacrifice him. And what did Abraham do? He obeyed. He got up, took his servants, saddled his donkey, and he took off early in the morning. He gets up on Mount Moriah. By the way, you know where Solomon's temple was built? On this spot, Mount Moriah. But he went up on this mountain. He's about ready to plunge the knife into his son, as you can read in this story. And he stretched out his hand in verse 10 and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! He said, here I am. And he said, do not lay a hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there, behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket, a bunch of thorny area. You've been out in Pennsylvania hunting, you know what a thicket is. And it's caught by its horn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. And it said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand on which the seashore of the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Now verse 18, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed me. What I'm trying to get at here, and I'm sorry about the screen today, because it was impossible for God to lie, but he wanted you to know and for me to know the certainty of his promise to Abraham would be fulfilled. And his promise was not just to Abraham, but to the heirs of Abraham, who would be as numerous as the stars of heaven. Right? Now, please read this with me. who are the descendants of the heirs? All those who have heart faith in Abraham's seed is the word there. Also called David's seed. Do you know that David was promised a seed? The woman was promised a seed, wasn't she? Who had crushed the head of the serpent. Abraham was promised a seed through whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Yes? David was promised a seed who would sit on the throne of Israel and would rule and have an everlasting kingdom. The seed, the seed, the seed. But did you ever think that God had a seed? God had a seed. God had only one seed. And God gave his one seed according to a spiritual lineage. The woman, Abraham, David were all physical seeds. But God's seed was a spiritual seed that he impregnated Mary, the woman, with. Now, who are, by definition, are the descendants or the heirs of Abraham's seed from all nations? Number one, children of Abraham. You say, did you know, you used to sing in children's church or Sunday school, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. And by the way, you are. You are sons and daughters of Abraham. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I do have a goal, if I don't ever, as I always do, run out of time. I haven't changed after all these years. That's one thing I guess I haven't changed. Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham were justified by works, he'd have something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him, that's Jesus, the seed, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. That's it. Your children of Abraham, when you place your faith in the promise of God that his seed would bless your life. Now, and it tells you very, very clearly right there. How do you get righteousness? Through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins. He took your sins in his body and paid for them. He was buried in the tomb. The third day he arose again. And you can have righteousness credited to your account when you believe in Jesus. And by that I mean credited, I mean imputed. How many of you have a bank account? You don't have to raise your hand, but you get my point. You have a bank account. How many of you impute money into that bank account? Impute. Deposit. You impute or deposit money into your account. Well, guess what God deposited to your life when you believed in Jesus? Righteousness. He deposited it in your heart by his Holy Spirit, and you are righteous in his eyes with his righteousness. But let's go on here. Verse 11. Of Romans 4. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith. I believe that's symbolic of baptism for us, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. Did you read that? That he, that is Abraham, might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised. That's Gentiles. That righteousness might be imputed to them also, to the Gentiles. and the father of circumcision to those who are not only of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. For the promise that he would be heir of the world, did you read that? For the promise that he, that is Abraham, or his seed, would be heir of the world, was not to Abraham only or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, the promise is made of no effect. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith that we might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure. That's the word guarantee, isn't it? You have a footnote? Or certain. It's the word guaranteed, that the promise to Abraham according to grace might be guaranteed to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, that's the Jew, but to those who are of faith of Abraham, that's us, who is the father of us all. Now, where he says, I have made you a father of many nations. Now, I could go on and on here. And I know you say don't, and I'm going to keep. Heirs with God's seed. So now you're heirs with Abraham, but what about heirs with God's seed? We are not only children of Abraham, but we're children of God through faith in God's seed, Jesus. We're born again. Now this is true, even though it's complicated. I kind of feel like the writer trying to explain Melchizedek. But it's still true. You can know for certain, just as God promised to Abraham and to his heirs, that's us, children of faith, children of Abraham, but we're not only children of Abraham, we're children of God himself. Through faith. And faith is the key word of all this. Faith is the key word of all this. And if you look at Galatians 3, and I wish you would, Galatians 3, 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did you read that? And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's descendants and will receive the promises given to Abraham. Now, what does the Abrahamic blessing entail? Let's look at it. I think it entails salvation blessing, the forgiveness of sins, the crushing of Satan's rule over man, the defeating of eternal death, all through the promised seed of the woman, who is also the promised seed of Abraham. Do you understand what I'm saying? The one that would crush Satan's head and authority and rule over man was the same seed as Abraham's seed, was the same seed as David's seed, was the same seed as God's seed. He's all the same. And Hebrews 2, 14 through 15 gives a very vivid description of how Christ had to become like us so that he could for us crush and defeat Satan and defeat death. And Colossians 2:15 says the same thing. Now, what does the Abrahamic blessing entail? Secondly, it entails Christ's second coming in the earthly millennial kingdom, where Israel will receive the promised land. By the way, Israel in no wise controls the promised land that God promised to them. They control a part of it, but not all of it. During the millennial kingdom, when the King of Kings, Jesus, rules, they'll control all the promised land and will receive the fulfillment of the land being theirs. And Jesus will, and by the way, David's seed, Abraham's seed will get the land, right? David's seed will sit on the land's throne, on the throne of the earth. And Jesus will reign on earth, and we will reign with him. I believe we will be with him on a physical earth, you know it now. I know that's, but I believe that. And we're going to rule and reign with Christ. Now, what does the Abraham blessing entail? An inheritance of eternal life, and enjoying the exceeding riches of the grace of God throughout all eternal ages. We will enjoy the blessing of riches, exceeding riches. Think about this. Everything Jesus owns, we'll own together with him. And we'll be co-heirs with Christ of all the universe. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2, I think it's verse 7, that in the ages to come, do you ever think, beloved, and this is true, hear me, we are just in one age right now. There's ages to come. There's an eternity, forever and ever, of ages to come. And we will inherit and be with Christ forever. And there's so much there. And then lastly, how about an everlasting and universal kingdom? Look at Hebrews chapter, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, or 11. Let's just go there. And let's look at what Abraham looked for. Hebrews chapter 11, 7. I don't know why that's 7. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. That's, I said, the millennial promise will be fulfilled there. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. What city's that? What is it? The New Jerusalem. The eternal city. The eternal kingdom. You see, and we're going to have a part in all that. That's the Abrahamic promise. That's the Abrahamic blessing. Now, these guaranteed promises given to Abraham and his heirs of faith are a strong encouragement to persevere. Persevere believing in Jesus. Don't turn back. Don't get sidetracked. Don't consider going back to the world or the lifestyle that you had in the past. Persevere. These promises are strong encouragement to you to endure till the end, till Christ comes. Knowing that they'll receive all the blessings and the inheritance promised to Abraham if they endure to the end, still believing. That's the way it is. That's what it says. You endure to the end, still believing in Jesus Christ and waiting patiently for the promises, you'll receive them. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. I don't know, who's that Southern? Guaranteed, or whatever it is. But seriously, and you know what? You and I don't know. There's nothing in this world guaranteed. Amen? I mean, somebody was telling me recently about something. They had bought a warranty for a car, and something broke, and well, guess what? That was in the fine print, not guaranteed. How many of you have had that happen to you? Don't you hate that? I hate that. I hate guarantees in this world. I'll tell you, sometimes you got to kick and fight and bite and scratch to get them to do anything that they should do. I've had to do that. So you do that? Yeah. I'll do it for you, too, because if it's right, it's right. Now, that has nothing to do with that. But God guarantees eternal life, eternal kingdom, eternal blessings for those who trust in the promise of his seed. Do you get it? Now, conclusion. This hope, the promise is given to Abraham and his descendants through Christ, two things. It's a refuge to run into and remain through all the fears around me. This hope you have, this hope of eternal life and eternal blessings and eternal joy and an eternal kingdom is a refuge. When you get the news of cancer, you can run into it. When you get the news of a pink slip, you can run into it. When you get the most horrible news of something for your child, you can run into it. It's a refuge. In all the fears, look at the government. Look at money. Look at the shrinking value of your dollar. Look at all the wrongs that you see, and there's nothing you can do about it. And if you're like me, I don't like it, and I'm afraid of the future, except I know who holds the future. And I know his promise of the coming of Christ and the kingdom of God and my participation in it, and the eternal blessings far beyond anything that this world offers, is mine. And that's a refuge to run into in a time of fear. Secondly, and I love this, this hope is just like an anchor. And that's what he says back in Hebrews 6. He says that this hope, look at it with me, verse 19, this hope we have, as is the word host, which is to mean just like. It's just like an anchor for the soul. Both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. Where's that? I'm talking about the heavenly temple where God is. And I'm there. My hope enters in behind the veil where Jesus is, where God is, and I'm right there. And I've anchored my soul on Jesus. Do you understand? You anchor your this hope anchors you to Jesus, and it won't come loose. It hold fast to Jesus. That's what faith does. Absolutely rock solid. Jesus is a rock. Amen? I looked up, you all heard of the Rock of Gibraltar. I tried to think, what's the biggest rock in this world? And I don't know if this is. Anybody know, is there a bigger rock than the Rock of Gibraltar? This is a rock. That big thing there is a rock. That's a rock. I apologize. I don't know what happened to that rock. Now look at them little buildings down there next to that rock. That kind of reminds you of God. Little ants. The Lord looks down from heaven and we're like ants down here. Behold man. But that's the rock. But this is our rock. This is God's Rock of Gibraltar, our hope of eternal life, and all God's promises are in that one man, the seed that's promised. And it's a guarantee that you will inherit the promises to Abraham. Do you understand? Have you anchored Is your faith anchored? Is your faith's anchor anchored in the promises of God through His Son, Jesus Christ? Let me ask you that question. Is your faith of eternal life, life after death, and being blessed with eternal through the eternal ages with Christ, is your faith's anchor anchored in Christ alone? You know, there's a saying we have, all other grounds are sinking sand. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I shall not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Is your hope in Christ today? Honestly. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, the certainty, the guarantee of Your promises to Abraham and to his seed. To the heirs of Abraham, who are the children of Abraham, the heirs of Abraham. Us, Lord. Your promise, You could swear by no greater swearing, so You swore by Yourself that You would give to Abraham and to his descendants the promises to be blessed through his seed, Jesus. Lord, help us to understand the great depth of Your word, and help us to, Lord, anchor our soul in the simplicity of faith alone in Christ. And if we have never made that decision, that we would make it even today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we close, let me make the invitation very clear that I want to know that you know for certain that you've anchored your soul, eternal soul, in Christ. Is the anchor of your soul in money? Or is the anchor of your soul in yourself? In living the way you want to? Is your anchor in Christ today? And do you know that you would for certain? You anchored your soul in Christ. And you're not moving from Him. You're not going to turn back. You're not going to fall aside. You're anchored your soul's relationship to Jesus and your hope to Him. There's no turning back. Hear me? No turning back. Don't turn away from Him. Don't. We so often get things we want. We let go of the anchor and go after what we want. I'm glad that God doesn't let go of us, to be honest with you. I believe that. But we can sure make things complicated and make our souls complicated when we do. God's brought many of you back. I'm so happy, by the way. I'm thrilled that so many of you are here that are new and are growing. But I want to know, is your anchor, will your anchor, your soul anchored to Christ alone? Two 68.